Good evening. I'm Karen Ashby, welcoming you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senator Patty Kim will take your calls as she introduces herself and discusses the budget address made by Governor Josh Shapiro earlier this month. Senator Kim will also be taking questions during this discussion. As a reminder, if you have a question and would like to join the conversation, please, all you have to do is press *3 on your keypad to participate. So without further delay, let me welcome State Senator Patty Kim.
Thank you, Karen, and good evening, everyone. This is State Senator Patty Kim. Welcome to this telephone town hall for my friends and neighbors within the 15th Senate District. I'd like to thank everyone who is taking out of the time out of their busy schedule to participate on tonight's call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I truly appreciate your engagement. Now, if you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, you can press *3 on your phone. And as Karen said earlier, tonight we will spend the next hour getting acquainted with one another and discussing the 2025-26 state budget proposal laid out by Governor Josh Shapiro. So, as mentioned earlier tonight, we'll be taking some of your questions, and so let's begin. I am so grateful that I get to spend some time with you to discuss what we've been up to. I was sworn in last month to represent Senate District 15. The district is pretty much the lower part of Dauphin County. And I thought it would be really important to get to know this district, even though I've lived here for over 25 years. My team and I have been traveling across the district for a listening tour. We're almost finished with visiting all 20 municipalities and 7 school districts. This way, I can better represent the district if I have a deeper understanding of the needs of the municipalities. And I have to say, I learned a ton. I've met a lot of great people, and I have a greater appreciation of the work that our local governments do on a day-to-day basis. What they're trying to do is just make sure that our quality of life is good, that our streets are safe for our families, to make sure that we keep things affordable. Now, as I'm starting off new, I want to share some of my priorities for the Senate District, and it's to make sure that, you know, we take care of our students by supporting all 7 school districts that's in Senate District 15. There is a variety of different types of school districts, you know, some suburban, some urban, maybe one rural, and they're all different. Some school districts are growing and busting out the seams, and others that are just trying to stay above water. I want to make sure that all of our schools are adequately funded and that we teach our kids for the jobs of the future. As you all know, we have a great region, and I'm really fortunate to have a strong relationship with the other elected officials in this area. And so I'm ready to work with them to make this county stronger. I want to see our economy grow, encourage businesses to stay and others to set up shop. And if we have a strong tax base, we can make sure that we have the things that make a great community. I also care deeply about the environment. I want to make sure our streets are safer, provide more affordable housing, and making sure that we take care of our older neighbors and our veterans. I'm going to pivot over to the governor's budget proposal. He presented it last month. I was glad to see that Governor Shapiro wants to invest in a lot of my priorities for the district. I'm going to take a minute to share with you some of the highlights. I won't go over all of it. There are many pages to this budget proposal. We don't have that much time, but I like to say, first off, that there are no tax increases. We have all felt the pain in our pockets during inflation, and I felt it was important to say that off the top. So some of the things that I'm excited for with this budget proposal is that it will increase Pennsylvania's minimum wage to $15 an hour for non-tip workers and to $9 an hour for tip workers, and that would, if we do pass it this June, it would take effect January 1 of 2026. Under health and housing, there will be $10 million to help first-time homebuyers cover closing costs. It will also have a program that will help with housing repairs, so $50 million to create a new statewide housing repair fund. Earlier, I talked about education, how important that is. This budget definitely invests in our K-12 education. There'll be $75 million more for basic education funding, $526 million more through the bipartisan adequacy formula to support underfunded schools, $40 million more for special education. There'll be a statewide base cyber tuition rate of $8,000 per student per year. There will be $5.5 million more for career and technology education, $20 million for student teacher stipends, $25 million for school repairs, and over $111 million for student mental health and school safety grants. Just a couple more highlights, $55 million for child care worker recruitment and retention bonuses. As you know, parents, working parents, it's really hard to find quality child care, and this will help with the workforce. And speaking of workforce development, $21 million to increase wages for direct care workers and $20 million for county behavioral health services to address workforce shortages. So it's safe to say that I'm in support of Governor Shapiro's budget. We have been discussing the budget in appropriations. It's good to say that I am on the appropriations committee, and I was recently appointed as vice chair. So last week we were in hearings, and the next 2 weeks we'll listen to many of the departments on what this budget proposal will mean. And before I take some of our first questions, I just want to let you know what other committees that I'm serving on. Local Government Committee. I'm going to be the Democratic Chair, so that'll be my main committee, Local Government. As I said, I'm on Appropriations. I'm also going to serve as a ranking member for Aging and Youth, Community Economic and Recreational Development, and lastly, Banking and Insurance. So I said a bit. If anyone would like to ask a question, I would love to answer it now.
All righty, thank you, Senator. We're going to turn it over to a question that came in online from William Lehman. With a demanding career in public service, how do you maintain balance with your personal life and family? Are there particular routines or practices that help you stay grounded?
Thank you for that question. Oh, my goodness. Balance, life balance is something that we all are trying to find the answer to, right? So, yes, whenever I'm driving to the district, whether I have to go to Costco or drop my kid off at a friend's house, I'm always thinking about the district and how we can improve. So it can be a little overwhelming. And so the way that I can kind of escape is I like to go hiking with my husband and just debrief on life. And I have teenage kids, so that's always a challenge. And if I could just see nature, look at nature, smell nature, walk with my husband, and talk about family, that's always, always helpful. And then I'm ready to go back to work and see how I can do things well. And the cool part is that, you know, in about a couple of months, I'm going to be an empty nester. Yay! I love my kids, I promise. I love them both deeply, but man, are they a lot of work. And so in a couple of months, I'll be an empty nester and could have a lot more time on my hands. So thank you so much for that question.
All right, we're going to go to Harold Hoffman from Harrisburg. Also, everyone on the call, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, just press star 3 on your telephone at any time. Senator, again, this is Harold Hoffman from Harrisburg, asking about if there's anything she could do about enjoying what Governor Shapiro is doing, but not so happy with Donald Trump. Harold, you are live.
Hello.
Hi, Harold.
Hello. I'm happy with our local government, more or less. But what this guy's doing in our federal government is a shame, and it's disgusting. And he didn't get in office by claiming he was going to do this crap. What he's trying to do is lower the deficit by working people, not the 1-2% to make all the money that gets away with all tax-free government.
Harold, I share your frustration. Since he's been in office, it's just been so chaotic and confusing, and the poor federal workers who are losing their jobs with no rhyme or reason, the immigrant communities are confused and scared. It is a really, really hard time for a lot of people, and my responsibility, my duty is to make sure that I see things that are as best as I can on the horizon and make sure that I can protect my residents in the district. We depend on a lot of federal funds in the state budget that I talked about. And this budget is about $50 billion, and there was a quote that we depend about $50 billion in federal funding. And we have to make sure that we get that funding that was passed by Congress by law allocated to us, and to make sure that every dollar comes back to the district, because if it doesn't, then our taxpayers, state taxpayers, have to pay for the difference. And that is completely unfair. So, Harold, as you know, that's at the federal level and at the state level, but I'm going to do as much as I can in my position to make sure that we get every dollar and that the chaos will hopefully turn into calm and we can figure out, you know, how we can get our center back and move forward. But I do appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator. We're going to turn to Angela G. from an online question. And Angela asks, what can ordinary citizens do to be aware and protect themselves? How can we stand up and use our power to stop the administration from doing things we don't agree with and know are illegal as well as unconstitutional?
Yeah, Angela, thank you for that question. You know, our founding fathers made sure that we had three branches of government and that we were keeping each other accountable. And so, you know, President Trump should be checked, and our Congress folks, our U.S. senators, our Congress people should keep the president accountable. And it is very, very quiet in D.C. It is very quiet. So in order for us to make sure that we have Senator Fetterman and Senator McCormick keep the president accountable, call them. Call them. I have their numbers right here in front of me. Fetterman's office is 717-782-3951. Senator McCormick's office has a local office here in Harrisburg, 717-231-7540. If we stay quiet, they think everything's going fine. We have to make some noise. We have to let our voices be heard. I'm making noise as well as much as I can here in Harrisburg. But they have to know that you guys, and not everybody, I'm sure of that, but the folks who are upset and think that we're in a crisis, you should let your congresspeople know. And in Harrisburg, Scott Perry, Congressman Scott Perry, represents Dauphin County. He should hear your voice as well. Thank you for that question.
Thank you. As a reminder to the callers, if you'd like to ask a question, just click star 3 on your telephone at any time. Senator, we're going to turn to caller Vasquez Perez from Harrisburg. You are live.
Hi. Hi, Senator Kim. It's Gina Vasquez. How are you?
Oh, hey, Gina. I know you. How are you?
You know, with all the crazy things that are happening here so close to home, I witnessed how ICE has come and picked up people right here on Derry Street. Very sad to see. I come from a migrant family. You know, I had to translate from my mom until I was in my teenage years, and so did my siblings. It's a bit tough. It's a bit tough to see. And I'm not sure if you have, but what do you think we as the constituents and as residents can do to try to assist these people and their families when this occurs?
Thank you for that question. Yes, we have been getting a lot of calls and letters to our office with those very same concerns. And we are doing two things right now. First of all, I wanted to hear people in person. So we put together a roundtable from people from all over the district, from different communities, just to listen. And what they basically said was what you said, Gina. There's confusion. People are scared. They're not going to work. They're not sending their kids to school. And it's really putting stress on my district, and I am concerned. The second thing that we are doing is that spreading good information on the rights of immigrants. If they know their rights, I think there will be more leverage in the outcome. So if anyone would like to have the information called Know Your Rights, we are happy to send it via email, send it, you know, through snail mail, whatever. But information is powerful, and we can do that and you don't even have to live in the district. You know, we want to make sure that this information is important, is spread widely. You know, some our immigrant communities are very important to me. They add value in the workforce, in so many other ways. They add to our culture, our diversity of culture, and we all have rights, and I want to make sure that I send that message out, that we care and that we're trying to make sure that everybody is safe. Donald Trump, you know, in the beginning said that he wanted to do away with the undocumented criminals. And he is going beyond that scope. And it is completely unfair to uproot families, separate families for a quota. I'm learning from Congress people who are serving obviously in Congress that the folks at ICE are frustrated because they are trying to meet an arbitrary quota, just to put numbers on the board. And police in our communities have worked so hard to build bridges with our community, and they're making it difficult to assist ICE. So to put points on the board just to say we did something while ripping and tearing families apart, I think is cruel. And we need to let our elected officials in Congress know that we oppose this and that they need to have some compassion when they're doing this. So I appreciate your conversation, Gina. It was great to hear your voice. I'm ready for the next question.
All righty. Thank you, Senator. We're going to keep this moving along to Matt Weber in Hummelstown. Matt, you are live.
Hi. Good evening. Thank you for taking the call. I know you've been talking about some very serious issues, and I don't mean to detract from those. But something else that's really important is volunteers and emergency management, fire departments, et cetera. As folks are aging, as many of the volunteers are aging out, I'm wondering what can be done at the state level to attract new volunteers and, of course, to retain the existing ones. In addition to that, what can be done to bolster the paid employees, because certainly those are the folks who are there for us in crisis times. Thank you again for taking the call.
Thank you, Matt. Oh, my goodness. So as we're going and visiting our districts and all the municipalities, we always ask about their fire departments and how they're doing. And a lot of fire companies are going, the volunteer fire companies are going through the same struggles and challenges of paying for their expensive equipment, making sure that they have enough manpower to respond to calls. I'm doing a couple of things, Matt. First is making sure that our fire companies can maximize all the grants that are available from the state, whether it be for equipment or for the actual fire company, whatnot. And then we also have some incentives for our volunteer fire workers. Second is I think because there's been so much pain and struggle in recruiting that we need to look at a different model. And I'm hoping that we can lean towards a hybrid model where there is a combination of paid and volunteer. Maybe we need to go towards regionalization. I know that can be a taboo word for some folks, but I have heard and seen up close the struggles of fire companies and the firefighters, volunteer firefighters, who, like, there's like two or three of them that are constantly always responding because they're so dedicated and they're burnt out. You know, having to raise money for, you know, in the local community is just not enough. And then the training that the volunteer firefighters have to do and the money that costs the training, it's a lot. It is a lot on a volunteer fire company. And so I appreciate the work that they do, the sacrifices they make. You know, they're running towards danger, but we need to take care of our volunteer fire companies. So just to repeat, what I'm trying to do is to maximize the grants that go into the fire companies in my district, and then looking at ways to incentivize or encourage a hybrid model where we can have paid and volunteer, or do some regionalization. But great question, Matt. I appreciate that and know that I am dedicated in trying to make this easier for volunteer fire companies.
Thank you, Senator. So we're going to go back to an online question. The proposal includes a plan to save $378 million in local property taxes by instituting a statewide $8,000 per student-based tuition rate for cyber charter school students. What impact do you anticipate this will have on both traditional public schools and cyber charter schools in your district?
Yeah, that's a great question. The questions will, use a little bit of historic perspective on that. So if a student at a school district wants to be a cyber charter student, the school district has to reimburse that student to enroll in a cyber charter school. And after talking to most of our school districts, one of the biggest costs in a school district's budget is the cyber charter school reimbursement. So I have a small school district that can't, that has a hole in their budget. It's about $3 million. And their cyber charter school reimbursement payment that they have to pay every year is $3 million. So this has been a burden for many school districts. Most of the school districts in this state has passed a resolution through their school board to help with the situation. This is a problem statewide, not just in Dauphin County. And so the governor's proposal is to cap the tuition for a student that enrolls in a cyber charter school, school, at $8,000. Cyber charter schools can, the tuition can go up to, $35,000 per student. I'm not quite sure if they have special needs. It can go up higher, and it is draining the school districts right now. So the question was, how can it save in property taxes? If the school district cannot, has a hole in the budget and can't fill it, they're going to look to the local property owners to fill that hole, raise taxes, so that they can pay for the cyber charter reimbursement. School districts have other challenges. They have to pay for more money for special education, for their transportation, for their facility costs. They have a lot of needs to pay out. The cyber charter school is the lowest common denominator for all school districts who are completely frustrated in this payment. So Governor Shapiro's budget with that $8,000 tuition cap cost will help school districts balance the budget and be able to teach the kids that are in their classrooms. So that was a long, convoluted answer. I apologize, but it's a great question. That part of the budget can save property tax owners some money if that goes through. Thanks for that question.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, just click *3 on your telephone at any time. Senator, we're going to go live with Alana Jones Oberland out of Dauphin County. Alana, you're live.
Hi. Thank you for accepting my question. I wanted to know, with the proposed budget for child care and increasing incentives and budgets for them for reliable care, how do we implement some sort of affordable pricing for childcare? I feel like it's very hard to pay $300-$400 a week for care. It's a mortgage at certain places, and it's just really hard. And how does that budget help with the cost of care, as well as incentives for employees?
All right, so Lana, can I ask you a quick question before I answer that? Are you speaking from a parent perspective, or are you speaking from a child care worker perspective?
Absolutely. So I'm a former child care worker, now a nurse, and now I just solely send my child to daycare.
Right. Awesome. Hey, thank you. So you know how important it is for quality child care workers and the affordability for parents. So you know both sides, which is pretty cool. So Governor Shapiro's budget adds more money to help increase the hourly rate for child care workers. As you know, if we keep the hourly rate low, it makes it more affordable for parents, unfortunately. You know, fortunately, more affordable for the parents to put their kids in daycare. So the state is trying to step in to help with the hourly rate so that child care workers are paid a livable wage, a living wage, without having to the parents have to pay more for that. So we're hoping that it stays in the budget the next couple of months. The Senate and the House and the Republicans and the Democrats are going to go back and forth to see if they can add or take away. And I'm hoping that the child care money that helps with the child care workers will stay in, because, as you know, Alana, it's that important. We need quality child care workers. And early education is so important for students, and it needs to be affordable for parents. There, you know, after COVID, some folks didn't go back to work because they didn't have the child care that they felt the quality child care for their kids. And if we can make it affordable and available, it's going to help with the workforce and just give parents a peace of mind. So I love that you're a nurse. I love that you're starting your family, Alana, and know that we keep your family in mind when we discuss and negotiate the budget and make sure that is the best for our families in Dauphin County. So thank you so much for that question.
Thank you, Senator. We are going to turn over to Claudette Johnson from Harrisburg, who has a question about senior housing. Claudette, you should be live.
Yes. I was wondering, I've been trying to get an apartment for the last 2.5 years, and I'm having a hard time finding one. Can you give me some kind of way where I can find one?
Claudette, mm-hmm. I would love for my office to reach back to you and give you some available housing options. I don't want to ask questions that are kind of personal and you're going to share it with all of us here online, but I think we could better serve you if we, if one of my team members reach back to you to help you find a good, safe home in the near future. Are you agreeable to that?
Because I have called your office.
You have called my office. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're going to try again and make sure that you get a good list of available options for you. Okay? Thank you so much.
Okay, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, click *3 on your telephone at any time. We're going to go to John Robbins from West Hanover Township. John, you're live.
Hello, Senator Kim.
Is this John Robinson, the John Robinson that I know?
Yes, it is. Thank you. Thanks.
How are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
Very good. Thanks for joining us tonight.
I am enjoying this talk immensely. Out here in West Hanover Township, we recently lost a historic tavern to demolition, and I wanted to encourage you to support the whatever the budget request is from the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission for its own operations, like the important museums on the trails of history, and also for its efforts for historic preservation and for local historical societies. All of these things are really important to me and to many people in our district, and I'm hoping that you will be able to support them. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thanks for calling in. Yes, I believe it's so important to preserve our historic monuments. I'm actually chair of the Capital Preservation Committee, which helps maintain and preserve the Capitol building. I think we have one of the most beautiful state capitals in the country, And I get to help lead this ongoing endeavor to make sure that the state capitol is safe and open to all public folks. So, John, I understand and appreciate historic buildings and monuments. I'd have to look closer at the budget with that line item in the preservation area, but I think it's level funded this year, and I will make sure and be a hawk to make sure that that money is stays there, and that we don't take that away for, you know, cost savings. I think it's an investment, and that's something that we need to keep there. So, John, thank you for all the work that you do in that area, and I will definitely keep that in mind. Thank you so much.
Alrighty, as our night is kind of coming to a close, we're going to get Tina Lynch from Harrisburg on the line. Tina, you are live.
Good evening, and hi, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good.
I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for setting this up. I missed the last one, so I'm glad I was able to get on this one. I wanted to just ask, you did tell us what we can do to help, you know, to be heard by contacting our Congress folks. But what can we do to help you? What is it that we can do to help you and to support you with the fights that you're going to be having?
Thank you, Tina, for that question. And it's a heartwarming question just to feel, you know, supported and asking how you can be helpful. You know, our voices matter. And the more contact that we have with our officials does matter. I know for me, when I get letters that pretty much say the same thing and it's a pile of letters on my desk, I know that is something that I need to pay attention to. That somebody took the time to write me a letter or leave me a voicemail. We track all of those contacts, and it puts a exclamation mark or puts underlines an issue that people are, again, taking their time out to say that, hey, Patty, this is important. So contacting your Congress folks, your two U.S. senators, and your U.S. representatives is important. I gave Senator McCormick's number and Senator Fetterman's number, but I also have Congressman Scott Perry's number here if anyone's interested, 717-603-4980. They are to keep the president accountable, you know, just like Congress kept, you know, President Biden accountable. It doesn't matter which party. It doesn't matter which president. It is something how our government is supposed to be set up, that we all lean up against each other, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branches. All are, you know, not one is more important than the other, but they're all, you know, at the same level. And if the president feels like he can do anything he wants, well, that's a problem. That's a big problem. So we are making sure we're monitoring the situation. We are pushing back on some things. Just one small, it's not a small example, but one example is that we were committed $500 million to fix the I-83 South Bridge. That project is about $1.2 billion, with a B, billion dollars. And the last administration committed giving us $500 million to help replace it. And now that is up in the air. Like, this is consequential. They are not allowed to do that. It was passed through a budget through Congress. It was approved. And that money is ours. And if they take that away, there's going to be a problem. I'm usually very nice and professional, but they're going to see a different side of me because that is so unfair. That was committed to us. And so I'm going to be fighting back to make sure that what was committed to us, we get those fundings. So thank you so much for that question. This has been a great, great discussion. I thank everyone for participating in this telephone town hall discussion. To those who listened in and to those who asked questions and gave us suggestions, thank you so much. Now, if you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call our office at 717-787-6801 or simply visit my website at PASenatorKim.com. Go have a great evening. Put your feet up. Enjoy the rest of the night. Thank you so much again, and have a wonderful evening. Bye, guys.